You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hello and welcome back to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by 90 Min. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon, and on this edition, we're going to be looking ahead to the weekend's Premier League action. We're going to be looking a little bit more ahead, I guess, to Arsenal versus Norwich. I got a couple of points that I want to make on that, but we did record the full preview show earlier on today. So if you haven't checked that out already and you want to, please do so. It's the last video on the YouTube channel and it's the last podcast in the audio feed. So do check that out. During that episode, I talked about the starting 11, the one that I would name, the one I think Mikel Arteta will name. And of course, we talked about a bit of a prediction as well. So lots of interesting stuff there. Interested to hear your thoughts on that particular episode and some of the points discussed. So as I say, if you haven't checked it out already, please do so. Let's say some hello, some good afternoons, some good evenings, depending on where you are in the world. Big hello to Paul Nell, who says, happy Friday, Harry. Steve says, hi, Harry, in the chat. Brad says, hi, Harry, finally back in England and catching you live. Welcome back. Big hello to Zoe Hartford. And of course, to long-standing member Graham Sutherland, who joins us all the way from sunny Corfu. Oh, mate, what I would give to be on a Greek island right now instead of here looking at out the window at the clouds and stressing about Arsenal Football Club. Big hello to Matt. Hope you're well, mate. And a big hello to IK as well. Right, on this show, and it's something a little bit new, something a little bit different, something that we're hoping to do every sort of Friday evening slash afternoon. We're going to look ahead to the Premier League's games. Of course, we're going to keep that Arsenal theme, but we're going to look across the Premier League as well at some of the other fixtures and give some thoughts, some predictions, discuss some of the big stories around some of those games. And I hope, of course, that you guys will enjoy it. But before we do that, let's go back to Arsenal versus Norwich. And I've been thinking about this some more, basically, since we did the stream earlier on today. What a huge game this is for Arsenal. I think we all knew that. But of course, the more I think about it, the more I think this really is make or break, isn't it, for Mikel Arteta. I just finished, just before we went live, I just finished a little spot on TalkSport 2 with the brilliant Adi Oladipo, who's fantastic. He's not one of those people in the media that just wants to stick the boot in on Arsenal all the time like some of the others. Adi Oladipo's quality, I'm sure you've seen him on Sky Sports, and I'm sure if you're a boxing fan, you've seen him on The Zone as well. He presents a lot of the boxing over there. And we were talking about this situation that Arsenal find themselves in and about how Arsenal will be looking to turn this around and how, you know, Mikel Arteta is kind of, I don't know if I want to use the phrase on borrowed time, but he is in a position now where he really needs to deliver after a really poor start to the season. And we were talking about ex-players and pundits, people who you would associate with as being legends of the football club, taking every possible opportunity to stick the boot in. And there's been a few of those sort of popping up again over the last few days, over the last couple of weeks. Of course, the international break has been a bit of a breathing ground for that because there hasn't been any other distraction. One of the things I always say about the Premier League and when you've got back-to-back fixtures is that, you know, yes, you can have a bad day at the office, you can have a bad game, you can be upset, disappointed, frustrated, but you've always got a game just around the corner to hopefully turn that around and hopefully put it behind you. And obviously with the international break, we haven't had that. And he played me a clip, Adi played me a clip on air from Martin Keown, where he was talking about if Arsenal don't win against Norwich City, they're in a relegation fight. Now, I've got no issue with ex-players who represented the club with all their heart, like Martin Keown, sharing their views and sharing their opinions on where Arsenal are currently at. But I want their views and their opinions to be constructive. What needs to change? What is going wrong in your opinion? What is different that you can see from when you were at the club and when the club was successful? What I don't want to hear is hyperbole like that. Okay, Arsenal, even if they lost to Norwich City tomorrow, are not candidates for relegation 4 games into the season, based on the club's history, based on the size of the squad, the quality of the squad, based on everything. Arsenal are not, we haven't even been relegated from the, I don't think we've ever played outside of the top flight of English football. So why are we all of a sudden candidates to go down just because we've had a rocky start to the season? And it's that kind of talk that puts people into a frenzy, that puts people into this place where, you know, they're blowing up every little incident, every negative result, every negative comment. Why are we going so big on this? Why are we talking about anybody other than the promoted sides, who people were kind of back to go down before they'd even come up? Why are we talking about a club like Arsenal being in the relegation fight 4 games into the season if we lose to Norwich? We haven't even lost to Norwich yet. You know, Arsenal could quite easily turn up tomorrow and put 4 or 5 past Norwich, and that will shut a lot of people up. And that's what needs to happen, because this hyperbole that is doing the airwaves, you know, I retweeted something. I'm sure if you follow me on Twitter, you've seen it, where someone was talking about how Arsenal have had the worst window of everybody. What is that based on? Like, what is that based on? I don't get it. He said something silly like Arsenal have spent 150 million. Manchester City spent 100 million on Jack Grealish alone. Yeah, because Manchester City can do that. We're not in the same league as Manchester City, as Chelsea, as Manchester United when it comes to spending. So stop comparing ourselves to them, because we'll always fall short. And people will always be disappointed and people will always be frustrated. But the reality is, we're not on the same planet as some of those sides when it comes to spending. And I really, really do want to see a little bit more common sense applied when we're talking about Arsenal. Should we be happy with where we are in the league right now? Absolutely not. Should we be happy with everything that Mikel Arteta has done? No. Could we have doubts about the recruitment that we've done this summer? Yes, we can. That's fair. To have doubts about it is fair, but to write players off as flop signings before some of them have even taken to the field in an Arsenal shirt is nonsensical, overreactionary, and pundits and some of our own fans are taking the opportunity to jump on the negative bandwagon and slag us off whenever they can, in the hope that it brings them attention online, that it brings them clicks, that it brings them views. And I think that that is disgusting. I don't want to see that from Arsenal fans. Okay, we go into the game against Norwich understanding the situation, understanding that we're under pressure, and understanding that Arsenal need a result. Mikel Arteta needs a result, desperately, in fact. But why are we melting down about a game that hasn't taken place yet? And I always say this, I've got no issue with a negative reaction if the performance isn't up to scratch, if the result is not what we were looking for. But I do think we have a responsibility around, as Arsenal fans, to get behind our team. Get behind our team. You know, it's especially when we turn up at the Emirates Stadium tomorrow. You know, it's massive. Get behind the team. Get behind the boys. And I'm sick of hearing our own people, our own ex-players, not speaking sensibly in a lot of cases and simply just taking the opportunity to really stick the knife in. It's driving me bloody crazy, I've got to be honest. But anyway, that's enough about that. Let's look ahead to some of the weekend's big Premier League fixtures. Let's quickly run through what they are, and you can hopefully use this to help you plan what it is that you're going to watch over the weekend. Let's have a look. So, of course, the early game, the 12:30 game, tomorrow is the one between Crystal Palace and Spurs. Patrick Vieira, of course, facing up against Tottenham Hotspur as a manager. Listen, I'm a massive, massive fan of Patrick Vieira's. Loved him as a player for the club. There's no question about that. He's an Arsenal legend. He's an Arsenal hero. But I'm not sure about Patrick Vieira, the manager. I've got to be honest, I never have been. I wasn't overly impressed by what I saw from him in French football when he took over Nice. And I was actually surprised that Crystal Palace gave him the job. I think Crystal Palace have tried to go down this route before, appointing this young, fresh, vibrant coach, in their eyes anyway, and trying to completely change the philosophy of the club. Do you remember when they brought De Boer in and what happened there? It went completely wrong because Palace weren't at that point in terms of their evolution as a football club. And I think that you could say the same thing is true of Patrick Vieira being appointed. I think the idea is the same. Yes, they've got rid of a lot of players, a lot of the old school players or players that were kind of represented that Hodgson era at Crystal Palace. And they've made some really positive young signings. But does Patrick Vieira have enough about him to prevent Crystal Palace being dragged into a relegation fight? I'm not 100% sure about that. And I really don't want to see him struggle. I really don't want to see him suffer. And I've probably told you guys this before, but I do have a bit of a soft spot for Crystal Palace. I was born just a stone's throw away from Selhurst Park. So they are a club that I actually do have a bit of affection for. Not when they play Arsenal, of course, but the rest of the year, I do want to see them do well. So I am, you know, struggling to see how this Vieira thing is going to work, but I hope I'm proved wrong, because nothing would please me more than to see Patrick Vieira, you know, really excel as a manager in the Premier League, really prove the doubters wrong, including myself, and you know, evolve this team, bring a better brand of football to Crystal Palace, nurture some young talent, because I think they have gone a little bit stale in recent years, and Roy Hodgson's nous and experience always kind of got them through that and saw them avoid the drop. But now it's the time for Crystal Palace to go up to that next level. And it remains to be seen whether or not Patrick Vieira is the man to deliver that. So hopefully he does. A lot of people pointing out in the comments that he did quite well at New York City, had a good reputation as a coach at Manchester City as well. Yeah, agreed. I just think the Premier League is a completely different kettle of fish. It will either make or break Patrick Vieira's managerial career. I truly believe that. I think he's either going to excel and really enhance his reputation, or this could be the end of him kind of managing at the highest level if this job goes wrong. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing how they get on, and obviously hoping that they can upset the apple cart with a victory over Spurs, who are top of the table, kills me to say. Moving on to the 3 o'clock games, obviously we've got the game between Arsenal and Norwich. A couple of really good games actually taking place at 3 o'clock tomorrow, but I guess the standout one and the big story is regarding Manchester United versus Newcastle United and the return of Cristiano Ronaldo. He will feature tomorrow, according to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and it's going to be interesting to see how much of a part he plays. Now, we've been talking a lot about this on the 90 Min Gas Tank. Scott, obviously our Man United fan, has been talking about it at length, and there's been a lot of debate around how good this signing is, the capture, the signing of Cristiano Ronaldo. Is it a positive for Manchester United? In my opinion, obviously it's a positive. You know, you're talking about one of the greatest players to have ever lived coming back to the club at a point where, make no mistake about it, he is not finished. Okay, he outscored Romelu Lukaku in Serie A last season. Romelu Lukaku, who Chelsea have paid 90 odd million pounds for. Yes, he is in the twilight of his career, Cristiano Ronaldo. But if there's one man in the right condition, in the right shape, who's an exemplary professional, Cristiano is that man. And what I think Cristiano's done really well in the latter years of his career, that perhaps he hasn't always got enough credit for, is he's adapted his game to suit that. You're no longer going to see Cristiano Ronaldo picking up the ball on the left-hand side, driving past two, three players, cutting inside and rifling one into the top corner. What you're going to see now from Cristiano Ronaldo is him using his physical presence inside the penalty area, him playing within smaller areas, you know, and he's become more of a centre forward than he's ever been in his career. I think when I used to think of Cristiano Ronaldo, the thing that came to my head was all those things I've just described, the dribbling, the power, the pace. Now, when I think of Cristiano Ronaldo, what's a trademark that comes to my head? It's a towering header, because he's adapted his game. And I've said this right from, you know, when he first burst onto the scene. I know he's improved at it as his career's gone on, but I don't think I've ever seen a player with a leap like Cristiano Ronaldo, honestly. And that is partly down to obviously having it naturally, but partly down and largely down to the way that he's looked after himself and the way he can hang up in the air. He's physically incredible. And I guess the big question is this a signing big enough to elevate Manchester United to the level whereby they're actually challenging for the Premier League title? I know they finished second last season, but it wasn't really a title race, if we're being completely honest. So does this signing make the difference for them? I think it could. I think it could, because Cristiano Ronaldo will score goals. There is no question in my mind that Cristiano Ronaldo will score goals in the Premier League this season. Some have expressed the concern about what that means for Rashford, what that means for Mason Greenwood, people like that. I mean, come on, if you can't learn something from Cristiano Ronaldo at that level, then, you know, you've got a serious issue. And I would argue that Greenwood, you know, he's played quite a bit from the right-hand side, hasn't he? Cutting in onto that left foot of him. Rashford has often been used as a winger as well. So it will affect their game time in a sense, but I'm not sure it will affect them as much as we think. I think Cristiano Ronaldo, if you're Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I know you've got to look at the future. I know you've got to ensure that those players continue their development. But if I'm Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I want to win trophies. And Cristiano Ronaldo at 26 odd million pounds or whatever it was, is a no-brainer of a signing and a player who instantly improves that team. So it's going to be interesting to see how he gets on. Look, I'm not going to say I want him to do well because I don't. You know, I'm not. People talk about football romantics and wanting to see someone like Cristiano coming back onto the scene and doing really well. No, not for me. I despise Manchester United. I always have, as bitter as that might sound. I grew up at the height of the Arsenal-Manchester United rivalry, and there's no way I want to see Cristiano do well. Doesn't mean I don't think he will, though. So that's the big one there. And I expect Manchester United, with all the fanfare, with all the focus being on them and some of the injury problems that Newcastle United have, I think they're without Callum Wilson, if I'm not mistaken. Steve Bruce got a little bit touchy as well, didn't he, in his pre-match press conference. I think everything is set up for Manchester United to win this and for Cristiano Ronaldo to feature and feature quite heavily. But it's the Premier League and anything can happen. But I still think anything other than a Man United win here is going to be a real shock. The other big, big game, I would say, at 3 o'clock is the game between Leicester and Manchester City at the King Power Stadium. And we were talking again on the 90 Min show the other day, and Boovy mentioned that the games against Leicester last season kind of defined where Manchester City were at certain points in the campaign. They obviously got beaten, didn't they, quite heavily at home at the start of the campaign by Leicester City. And then they went on to beat them at the King Power when City were really in the kind of, you know, in the zone and marching towards that title. And I actually commentated on that win for Manchester City at Leicester, where I think it was Fernandinho and Mendy that scored the goals. I think it was. Anyway, correct me if I'm wrong. But, you know, Manchester City, for me, they showed against us, didn't they, last weekend, that if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile, because they are that good. They'll suffocate you. They'll dominate possession. They'll wear you down. We gifted them goals. Not sure Leicester will be such an easy opponent. And obviously it's at the King Power Stadium as well, which definitely makes a difference. But yeah, that's going to be a really, really interesting watch, because I'm wondering about Leicester this season. You know, are Leicester going to be able to maintain the levels that they've set over the last couple of seasons? Obviously missing out on the Champions League will have felt like a failure to them. I think when you take a step back and you're honest, you feel like they were overachieving in the first place, so you can forgive them. But I do think, having got to that point on a couple of occasions, Brendan Rodgers would have been desperate to get over the line, and he didn't. I actually think this is the season that Leicester City fall a little bit further away. I'm not saying they're going to be languishing in mid-table, but I do think they'll be closer to sixth, seventh this season than fourth, you know, or in the top four for large periods like they were last time out. So, yeah, going to be interesting to see how they get on against Manchester City in that one. So that's a really good game. And look, on the one hand, I'm looking at the United and Newcastle game, and then I'm looking at the Leicester and Man City games, and I'm thinking, why aren't any of them televised here in the UK? For our international listeners and viewers, it doesn't matter to you, because you guys get access to them, and we have our ways as well. But what this does do is make Match of the Day on Saturday night incredibly appealing, as long as Arsenal don't get beat, of course. So, yeah, plenty to catch up on that. Elsewhere, Brentford take on Brighton. Southampton play West Ham United at St Mary's, almost called it the Dell, going back to the old days. And of course, Wolves, who have played really well but have yet to get their reward for it, take on Watford at Vicarage Road. The 5:30 game is the match between Chelsea and Aston Villa. And then on Sunday, we've got a real treat, in my opinion, because I think, as much as we talk about the significance of the Arsenal game, we talk about Man United and Cristiano Ronaldo's return, and we talk about that game between Leicester and Manchester City, this is one hell of a game. Leeds United versus Liverpool. Prime Bielsa ball in front of a packed Ellen Road against a really exciting Liverpool team. I'm really, really looking forward to this one. And in fact, I've based my Sunday plans around it, because I want to be sitting in front of the TV with my feet up and a nice cold beer, having just eaten my Sunday dinner, watching this one without having to move. So yeah, really looking forward to this. Leeds versus Liverpool, I think it'll be an absolute cracker. You know that neither side will want to sit back and defend. And Marcelo Bielsa is one of those coaches who feeds off of the energy of the crowd. And he's been incredible at maintaining that level of energy and making sure his players maintain it, even without fans in the stadium. But with a packed Elland Road, I can imagine this is going to be one hell of a tough challenge for Liverpool. I say that they're probably going to win 3 or 4-0 now. No, I'm joking. But it should be a really, really good game. And I'm very, very much looking forward to that one. And then, of course, on Monday, you've got the game between Everton and Burnley. That's the Monday night football, that one at Goodison Park. And I'll probably catch the second half of that one, so we can check out Burnley ahead of our trip to Turf Moor next week. Now, I put it out as a tweet earlier on, but I just want to remind you guys, if you haven't seen it already, actually, while I do this, get your questions, get your thoughts in the chat box, and we'll start working through them for the last sort of 10, 15 minutes of the stream. But just to remind you guys that this Monday, I'll be joined by the lads. The same old Arsenal, unfortunately, is no more. But Lee Judges, Dan Potts, Graham Brooks, and Mark will be joining me on the Chronicles of Aguna on Monday night at 8 p.m. We'll be live. So looking forward to doing that. And yeah, can't wait to catch up with the lads. It's been a little while. We haven't really spoken properly since the season started about what's going on, how it's all unfolding. So that should be great fun. And I know a lot of you were keen listeners of the Same Old Arsenal podcast. So it'd be great to see some of you guys in the chat box as well. Just a quick reminder, if you haven't done so already, please do subscribe to the channel. Hit that like button on the stream if you haven't done so already. Let me just quickly double check where we are on the likes, because we should have, well, there's enough of you watching for us to have a fair few on the board right now. Let's get some more. We've only got 35. Let's try and get up to 50 first. That'll be our first point of call. Let's go over to the chat box now. So as I say, subscribe, like, share, join if you want to become a member, all of that jazz. You know the drill by now. And I want to say a big thank you to Saeed Abdullah for his very, very kind super chat donation. Thank you so much, mate. He says, Harry, did you see Odegaard's interview with Sky Sports in which he talks about his ambition to win the league and the Champions League with Arsenal? You should see the comments. I've seen snippets of it and I've read little bits from it, but I haven't watched it in full. I've got to be honest. It's on my to-do list tonight. Once the little man goes to bed, I'll be settling down to catch up on a few bits and pieces that I want to watch from the football world. But look, listen, the thing is with that, obviously at this point in time, winning the Champions League and winning the league with Arsenal feels a million miles away. And rightly so. You know, we're nowhere near that. But what is a player, a young player who's just signed for a big club, who are a bit of a sleeping giant at the moment, who are underachieving, what is he supposed to say? Because I think it's one of those situations where he can't really win. If he comes out and says that we, you know, are a million miles away from it, people say, well, where's the ambition? You know, or if he says we want to get back into Europe, or people say, well, that's a bit underwhelming, isn't it? Is that all he's kind of thinking, and is that all his ambition is as a footballer? And if he says we're going to win the Champions League or the Premier League, people turn around and say he's deluded. So I don't think Martin Odegaard can win in this situation. I think as a footballer, you have to be aspiring for the very top. Martin Odegaard will be well aware that that is not just around the corner, that there is a lot of work to be done. And even then, it's still a very kind of, you know, it's still a really small possibility that that actually comes to fruition and that he gets to achieve that at Arsenal Football Club. But, you know, I always want to hear my players talking about hitting the very top. That should be the benchmark. That should be what they're aspiring to. So don't really have an issue with it. But yeah, I can imagine what the comments are like. And again, Saeed, thank you so much, mate, for your very, very kind super chat donation. Matt says, why is the Same Old Arsenal pod no more? Honestly, Matt, I don't really know. Craig, who was obviously the host and the owner of the pod, decided that he doesn't want to do it anymore. And I'm sure he's got, you know, valid reasons. there's not been any falling out with anyone. So I don't want, I know that when it first happened, when it first got tweeted out that the podcast was going to stop, a lot of people started kind of peddling that narrative on social media saying, oh, the lads must have fallen out and all of this. I can categorically assure you that's not what happened. Craig's got other things going on. He's got kids. He's got a new job. I think it's probably down to that kind of work-life balance thing. But listen, Craig's always been fantastic with all of us, especially myself. You know, I didn't even have a pod. Well, I think I just started the Chronicles of Aguna when Craig invited me on. And it's been a real good thing for me because it gave me the opportunity to see how the podcasting space works and understand it a little bit more and put me in a much better position to enhance my own one and take my own one to the new level. It gave me a lot of exposure. Craig gave me the opportunity to part host an event with Kevin Campbell, Nigel Winterburn, et cetera, et cetera. Made some great friends out of it as well that I'm still friends with. And as I say, loads of the lads will be back on here on Monday, which is great. So it'll be the same kind of vibe, just with a different name. But yeah, look, there's no falling out. There was no other reason than Craig deciding that he wanted to call it a day, which is, it's fair enough. It's his prerogative. I miss it as well. And I'm sure you'll see Craig on here or appearing on some other podcasts when he's a little bit freer. So yeah, looking forward to speaking to him again soon. Omar says, can you give quick predictions for this weekend's games? Ooh, I don't know if I want to do this, Omar, because I haven't thought about it at all. Let's quickly run through them then. Go on then. What the listeners want, the listeners get. Let me just bring them back up on the screen so that I can see all the games. And I'll quickly reel off my thoughtless predictions. We'll call them that. Crystal Palace versus Spurs. I'm going to go Crystal Palace 0, Spurs 1. Arsenal 2, Norwich 0. Brentford 1, Brighton 1. Leicester 1, Manchester City 3. Manchester United 3, Newcastle United 0. Southampton. Southampton 0, West Ham 0. I don't know why I've gone for a 0-0 on that one. I just have. Watford 1, Wolves 3, Chelsea 3, Aston Villa 0, Leeds 1, Liverpool 1, and then Everton 1, Burnley 0 will be my predictions. But I've not even thought about those, so don't hold me to account. But Omar's asked for them in the chat, so there you go. Right, let's move further down the chat box. BX Gunner says, big up, Craig. Absolutely. And he says, damn, same old Arsenal was my first real good go-to for the Arsenal. Miss it so much. Yeah, we all do, mate. We all do. It was a great show. Had great chemistry. Craig hosted it expertly. It was fantastic. Paul Murphy, one of our members, says, I'm hoping Vieira gets Premier League management experience and smashes it for 2 years, then takes over from Arteta, who has also smashed it and got us back to where we belong. Dreaming, I know, but it's what we want. Yep. It feels like a bit of a dream at the moment, mate, but you never know. Stranger things have happened. Carrie Tallinan says, if Arsenal is not in the same league with Chelsea and Man City, why are Arsenal a so-called big club? Are they even in the same league with Leicester or Everton these days? Well, Carrie, it depends how you define a big club, okay? And we have this discussion and this debate among friends all the time. What defines a big club? And for me, there are a number of factors. It's about silverware. It's about success. It's about the size of your fan base. It's about history. It's about so many different things, your global reach. You know, I just think that there are so many factors. It's not so easy to kind of define who's a bigger club. I think Chelsea are becoming a bigger club based on a lot of those things I've just said, the success over a sustained period of time, the European Cup wins, the constant, you know, competing at the right, at the very top end, whereas 20 years ago, they were nothing like that. So you can grow as a club. Arsenal being a big club is based on history at the moment. That's the sad thing. But a lot of people used to say this about Liverpool, right? Prior to Jurgen Klopp winning the Champions League and the title, they used to say, oh, Liverpool are just living on their history. Yeah, but that history was so strong and so significant that they were always a big football club, a well-supported football club with a global reach. So it's not just about how you're performing at this current level, it's not just about how you're performing now. It's a culmination of things. And when you take all of the factors that I believe, contribute to whether you're a big club or not, Arsenal is still up there for sure. And if they weren't, we wouldn't have this massive fan base that we do. We wouldn't be communicating with fans all over the world. There wouldn't be fans all over the world supporting Arsenal. So the fact that there is, the fact that some of you guys are based overseas and still have a massive affection towards Arsenal, in my opinion, you know, demonstrates what a big club we are. Sam says, why don't they show 3 p.m. kickoff games on TV? Surely the Premier League should be looking at doing this. You would have thought after showing all the games through lockdown, now would be the perfect chance. There's always been that blackout here in the UK for the 3 p.m. games. Look, if you really want to watch them, you can find a way. Okay, there's all kinds of things. Streaming, IPTVs, etc., etc. Everybody's doing it nowadays. I don't condone it, obviously, publicly, but you know, it is one of those things that you can do if you really want to. But the, I guess for me, the original point around fans not going to games has always been, you know, the thing that the Premier League have kind of hid behind. We don't want to show games at 3 o'clock because it will impact the attendances. I'm not sure that that's true. For me, if I've got a ticket to a game, whether it's on TV or not, doesn't really make a difference to me. I'm still going to go to the game. I'm sure there are other people in different circumstances who would stay home and watch the games on TV. But I don't know, man. I just feel like that excuse is not really valid anymore. And especially with the global appeal that the Premier League has now, sitting there on Saturday knowing that half of the world is watching Arsenal versus Norwich on their televisions, and someone who is sitting 5 miles from the Emirates Stadium can't get it on their TV, is a little bit frustrating, isn't it? But it is something that's always been in place here in the UK, and something that, unfortunately, for the time being anyway, we're just going to have to continue to live with. Let's take this one from Maximus, who says, question, Arsenal were known for playing the game the beautiful way. As managers have changed, so has our playing style. What do you think will be the future and the style Arsenal will be known for? It's really hard to know looking at this current Arsenal team. I think there are a lot of similarities in what Mikel Arteta is trying to do to what Pep Guardiola tries to do in terms of footballing philosophy. Obviously, we don't have the same caliber of player, which makes that a lot more difficult to pull off. But one of the big criticisms I had of Unai Emery was that I never really understood the philosophy and the style. And I feel like we've given Mikel enough time now to show us a philosophy and a style. And he's flip-flopped on that a number of times. I think for me, when you're a new manager, you are at the beginning anyway, trying to find your own identity and your own path. You take somebody like Marcelo Bielsa, who has been in management for years and years and years, has a style of play that he's tweaked and refined throughout his career. And it's a style of play now that is very clear to him. And because he knows it inside out, because he knows every aspect of it, he is able to communicate that and translate it onto the pitch and embed it within the minds of his players. I think Mikel Arteta is still at the stage as a manager where he doesn't really know exactly what his philosophy is. He's still refining it. I'm not saying that's something that we should have to deal with as Arsenal fans. It's frustrating, it's disappointing, it's irritating, of course. But that's how I kind of feel with Mikel Arteta right now. And I think until he really works out and establishes what the style is, what every element of his footballing philosophy looks like, we are going to struggle to see it because he's going to struggle to implement it. That's kind of my view on that. But I don't really know what it is he wants to get to. I know he wants to play possession-based football. We know that he wants to play with quite an aggressive press. We've seen him at times abandon that and drop us a little bit deeper. Started this season with the midfield pushing further forward. It's a little bit confusing. We're kind of getting mixed messages from Mikel in that sense. So I'm sorry, Maximus, I can't really answer that at this point because, as I say, I'm not sure that Mikel himself has refined it, has worked it out, and understands exactly what it is that he wants to see from his players. I don't think he's just at that point now of it's clear in his mind and he's now got to communicate it I'm not sure he's at that point himself, which is a big worry and a big concern, obviously. Philippe Hunt says, Harry, big up. Thank you. Out of the top six teams, where do you rank them from least favorite to favorite? When you say top six, do you mean the big six, which includes us, because we're one of the big six, but we're not one of the top six anymore. Let's assume that you are saying that. Then I think, you know, Arsenal and Tottenham are probably the two that fall out. So, well, Arsenal and Tottenham are definitely the two that fall outside of the top four for me. And then it's Liverpool, Manchester United, Chelsea and Manchester City. And that's going in reverse order, of course. Let's see what else we've got. Christoph says that some of the pictures of Arsenal's future style will become more evident by the type of strikers the club bring in after Laka and Oba. Yeah, that's a really good point. Really good point. Because at the moment, they're two really high earning players that we spent a lot of money on that you'd like to move on probably. And you probably feel we could, you know, we're going to have to move on from soon. But they weren't the priority this summer, in my opinion, in terms of getting rid of players and replacing players. So I understand why the club have kept them. And I don't really have an objection to that, given the circumstances and given the situation we're in. But that's a great point, Christoph. I do think when we see the type of striker that Mikel Arteta goes and gets, if he gets to the point where we're replacing, it will give us a good indication on what it is that he wants to see from his forwards. And we might get a better understanding of what our attacking play, at least in his mind, is supposed to look like. Great stuff. Great questions, as always. I am going to leave it there. But thank you all so much. Hope you've enjoyed this kind of weekend little preview chat. And we'll be doing this on Fridays moving forward. Make sure you give the video a like. Make sure you subscribe to the channel if you're new. If you're listening to us via the audio platforms, please do leave us a review. That really helps. As I said, the same old Arsenal boys will be with me on Monday night. I'll be bringing you a video. So if you are an audio listener, get yourself over to the YouTube channel and subscribe as well. You know, you can stay on the audio, obviously, but subscribe because I'll be bringing you a video that will only be on the YouTube channel from the Emirates Stadium as soon as the full-time whistle blows against Norwich City tomorrow. And then, of course, we'll be bringing you the full podcast in the evening and our tactical analysis of the game late on Sunday morning. So plenty of content to come over the next few days. Let's hope Arsenal, because it's going to be the last time I speak to you before the game, can go out there, blow Norwich City away, but most importantly, get the 3 points and kick start our season. Catch you all very, very soon. Enjoy your Friday nights with your friends and family. Take care, chill out. Try not to stress too much about tomorrow's game and let's see how it goes. Until then, take care. Goodbye.
Listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.